Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarswatim Vyasam. Tato Jayo Mudirayet. Nasta Praeshu Apadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavachutama Shloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. Before reciting this Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, let us offer our humble obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, Lord Narayan, unto Naranarayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam, and by rendering service to the pure devotee, all that is inauspicious within the heart is practically destroyed. And thus, loving service to the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental song, is established as an irrevocable fact. Today we're studying Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 5, text 9, text 11. It's a prose verse, therefore we won't chant it, but I will just go through it once, and then we will look at the translation.
Yada tu purata aharam karma vetanata ihamana sabrihat dibi api kedara karmani nirupitas tad api karoti kintu na samam vishama nyunam adhikam iti veda kana pinyaka pali karana kal kulmash masha stapurushadnya pi amritavad abhyava harati. Amritavad. Tavad means, that verse comes up again in the purport. Means nectar. Like nectar, yeah. Okay, translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Goswami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So we're hearing now about Jad Bharat. He is Maharaj. He was Maharaj Bharat, then he became a deer, and then he got to take birth as Jad Bharat in a Brahmin family. But to protect himself from further distraction, he just acted like he was a madman. So his mother, his stepmother, and his stepbrothers, because the mother and father have died, are not treating him very well, which he doesn't mind at all. Jad Bharat used to work only for food. His stepbrothers took advantage of this and engaged him in agricultural field work in exchange for some food. But actually, he did not know how to work very well in the field. He did not know where to spread dirt or where to make the ground level or uneven. His brothers used to give him broken rice, oil cakes, the chaff of rice, worm-eaten grains, and burned grains that had stuck to the pot. But he gladly accepted all this as if it were nectar. He did not hold any grudges and ate all this very gladly. Anybody want to just repeat back the essence of what we just heard about Jad Bharat, just so to refresh everybody's memory? Cancer Valley, you were enjoying it. You want to tell us?
And in return, I just gave the people that I was going to do. And she stopped the people from eating.
Prabhupada's purport. The platform of Paramahansa is described in Bhagavad Gita 2:15, Samaduka Sukhamjiram Somritatvaya Kalpate Amritatvaya. Amrita is there again. When one is callous to all duality, the happiness and distress of this material world, one is fit for Amritatva, eternal life. Bharata Maharaj was determined to finish his business in this material world. And he did not at all care for the world of duality. He was complete in Krishna consciousness and was oblivious to good and evil, happiness and distress. That we will see more of, because pretty soon it's going to be a very distressful situation, but it'll be, it's quite an adventure, but he'll be very transcendental. As stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Anchalila 4:176, Dvaite Bhadra Bhadra Jnana Sabha Mano Dharma E Bala E Manda Sabha Brahma. In the material world, conceptions of good and bad are all mental speculations. Therefore, saying this is good and this is bad is all a mistake. One has to understand that in the material world of duality, to think that this is good or that is bad is simply a mental concoction. However, one should not imitate this consciousness. One should actually be situated on the spiritual platform of neutrality. Om Jnana Chimirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkest of ignorance, and my spiritual master is forcing open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto him. Vanchakalpa tarubhyascha kripasindhubhyevacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivashadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I decided that I'd like to focus on the spiritual basis for being beyond duality and also recognizing immature or imitation transcendence to duality. These are the two points. So Prabhupada refers us to this verse in this purport. He refers us to the Bhagavad Gita 2:15. Yamhina viyatantya te purusha purusha shabha samaduka sukham dhiram somritatvaya kalpate. I remember when I first joined the movement, when reading chapter 2, I thought, there's so much description of the soul there, so many qualities of the soul are described. I memorized a number of these verses. This was one of the verses that I liked. In this verse, Amritatvaya, Prabhupada says, it refers to liberation. O best among men, Arjuna, the person who is not disturbed by happiness and distress and is steady in both is certainly eligible for liberation. And Prabhupada had said that, liberation means eternal life. When one is callous to all duality, the happiness and distress of this material world, one is fit for Amritatva or eternal life. And then Prabhupada speaks about Maharaj Bharat, Jad Bharat, that he was going to finish his business. So as soon as one has that determination to finish one's business, really, like it says in the Bhagavad Gita, when one is done with material lust, then one becomes eligible for this Amritatva, this eternal life. Amrit, mrityu means death. Amrit means deathless. And that's really the nectar. That one doesn't have to be afflicted by, what is it Prabhupada says in the introduction of the Bhagavad Gita, that our very existence is in the atmosphere of non-existence. We're all being chased by the tigress of ignorance. Is that he said? The tigress of ignorance, of darkness. And we're not meant for this. And when we understand, really understand something of our eternality, it's nectar. for mortal beings like us. And then Prabhupada, again, he referred us to this verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. In this material world, conceptions of good and bad are all mental speculations. Therefore, saying this is good and this is bad is all a mistake. Sometimes Prabhupada compares it to dry stool and wet stool, right? In India, they use the dung of the cow for heating purposes, and then the dung has to be dried out. In any case, the dry stool or the wet stool may say, I'm better. They may compare that I'm better than you, but Prabhupada said, after all, stool is stool. Dry stool may be considered better than wet stool because it's used for, it becomes useful. Of course, cow stool is always considered useful, or wet stool may be considered more nasty than dry stool because it doesn't smell as bad, or it smells worse, right? So then, but Prabhupada said, after all, it's stool. Sometimes aristocratic Indians would really take exception to this. They would become quite upset by Prabhupada's analogy. And even one time, one disciple of Prabhupada was at a conference, and there was this discussion among people who take the Advaita viewpoint that it's all one, it's all the same. And then Prabhupada asked one of his disciples, Prabhupada wasn't there, but he said, you can represent me there. So this disciple said, so if it's all one, so if I give you sweets or I give you stools, you can eat them both, it's the same. And people, some of those spiritual people, they got very upset, and they even went to complain to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada managed to pacify them. But after they all left, Prabhupada said, what did you say? And then the devotee repeated what he said, and Prabhupada was laughing so hard. He really enjoyed this, that you just clear away these illusions. But in any case, this verse that Prabhupada is quoting from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it sounds a little dry, right? A little philosophical, it's a little hard to realize. This is good and this is bad, it's all a mistake. It sounds like a little over our head. But if you hear where this verse was spoken, actually you will be totally ecstatic. So I'd like to share a little bit of that section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita with you. This was spoken by Lord Chaitanya to Sanatan Goswami. This is when Sanatan Goswami had made an attempt to go to see Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri. And he had gone through the Jarikanda forest, the same Jarikanda forest that Lord Chaitanya had gone through, and had gotten all the animals to chant Hare Krishna. Amala Bhakti, when he's narrating this, he said that the Lord went up to a tiger and he kicked the tiger, and he said he told the tiger to chant Hare Krishna, and the tiger went, Hare Krishna! So he was actually visualizing. Must have been wonderful. So when Sanatana Goswami went through the forest, he had a different experience. He drank some water in the forest and he got a very terrible disease. So who remembers what happened to him because of this disease? Huh? Yeah, itching, oozing sores. They were itching and all this pus and nasty things were coming out of it. So then when he saw Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya would embrace him. Just imagine that the person you love the most, who you think is the most exalted person, who you know to be non-different from God, who is actually the Supreme Being, the essence of all existence, and he has to experience that the pus from your sores is oozing out onto his transcendental body. I mean, you would feel bad, right? And Sanatana Goswami felt so bad that he wanted to leave. At one point he considered suicide, but he didn't do that. Jagarananda, Sanatana Goswami decided to consult the Jagarananda. Who knows who Jagarananda is? I know you know, Kanchavali, I'm going to ask somebody else. Who knows who Jagarananda is in Krishna Leela?
Yes.
And Satyabhama is an expansion of Srimati Radharani. So the relationship between Lord Chaitanya and Jagannanda is very intimate. So Sanatana Goswami went to Jagannanda and told him, you know, I'm really suffering and I'm contaminating the body of the Lord and I don't know what to do. So Jagannanda gave him some advice. Said, Jagannanda Pandit said, the most suitable place for you to reside is Vrindavan. After seeing the Rath Yatra festival, you can return there.
The Lord has already ordered both of you, brothers, to situate yourselves in Vrindavan. There you will achieve all happiness. So, Sanatana Goswami thought that was really good. He thought it was great advice. I'm skipping some verses just for the sake of the time. And so he thanked Jagannath. Yes, yes, I will do this. Thank you. This is what I will do. The next day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to see Haridas and Sanatana Goswami. And Sanatana Goswami, he saw that the Lord was coming towards him, and he tried to go away. Out of fear of committing offenses, Sanatana Goswami did not come forward to meet Sri Chaitanya. The Lord, however, went forward to meet him. Sanatana Goswami backed away, but Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu caught him by force and embraced him. Then Sanatana Goswami, who was advanced in renunciation, began to speak. "I came here for my benefit," he said, "but I see that I am getting just the opposite. I am unfit to render service. I simply commit offenses day after day." So it's interesting that Sanatana Goswami, he's very renounced, but he's still thinking of his own benefit, his spiritual benefit. He doesn't have false renunciation. Renunciation means to accept what is positive for your spiritual life and what's positive for your ultimate benefit, and to renounce what is not. So that was, I found that interesting. I came here for my benefit, but it's not working out that way. "By nature, I am low-born. I am a contaminated reservoir of sinful activities. If you touch me, sir, that will be a great offense on my part. Moreover, blood is running from infected, itching sores on my body, smearing your body with moisture. But still, you touch me by force. My dear sir, you don't even have a pinch of aversion to touching my body, which is in a horrible condition. Because of this offense, everything auspicious will be vanquished for me." So he's taking a little bit. That's not really his natural mood with the Lord. The gopis, we know, the gopis were willing to give their dust of their lotus feet to Lord Krishna to relieve his headache. So a gopi would think, if this itching, pussy thing really gives pleasure to the Lord, so be it, right? He doesn't worry about his offenses. So, but this is a very instructive story for us. "Therefore, I see that I will get nothing auspicious by staying here. Kindly give me orders allowing me to return to Vrindavan after the Ratha Yatra festival. I have consulted Jagadananda Pandit for his opinion, and he has also advised me to return to Vrindavan." Hearing this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in an angry mood, began to chastise Jagadananda Pandit. I don't think Jagadananda was present at the moment, but Lord Chaitanya was very upset. He said, "He's just a new boy. What does he know? You're so advanced in spiritual life." And this, he calls him Jaga. He said, "Jaga doesn't know anything. He just came here, and you're so advanced. You're worshipable by the whole. Who is he to give you advice?" This is also very interesting for our instruction. Sometimes we don't want to make offenses, but sometimes things become a little sterile and unreal. But Lord Chaitanya, no, he said, "This guy's a nonsense." Interesting to hear this loving exchange. When Sri Chaitanya, I skipped all the things that he said because I'm trying to move on with I'm always considering the time. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was thus chastising Jagadananda Pandit, Sanatana Goswami fell at the Lord's feet and said, "I can now understand the fortunate position of Jagadananda. I can understand also my misfortune. No one in this world is as fortunate as Jagadananda. Sir, you are making Jagadananda drink the nectar of affectionate relationships, whereas by offering me honorable prayers, you are making me drink the bitter juice of Nimba and Nishinda. It is my misfortune that you have not accepted me as one of your intimate relations, but you are the completely independent Supreme Personality of Godhead. What can I do, right?" Hearing this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was somewhat ashamed. Isn't it nectar, these loving exchanges? It's so wonderful. Just to satisfy Sanatana Goswami, he spoke the following words. "My dear Sanatana, please do not think that Jagadananda is more dear to me than you. However, I cannot tolerate transgressions of the standard etiquette.
So then he, Lord Chaitanya, makes further elaborations. Actually, if I, you know, that you are Krishna's devotee, and Jagannatha can't speak like this to you because you are so advanced, he can't relate to you on the bodily platform. And then he continues, he says, you consider your body dangerous and awful, but I think that your body is like nectar. We're just hearing this word, amrita. Actually, your body is transcendental, never material. You are thinking of it, however, in terms of a material conception. You see how he's developing this point of bad and good. Even if your body were material, I still could not neglect it, for the material body should be considered neither good nor bad. Lord Chaitanya is just giving incredible. So this gets a little dry in terms of the rasa. It gets a little dry, but it's also very sublime. Anything not conceived in relation to Krishna should be understood to be illusion or maya. None of the illusion uttered by words or conceived in the mind are factual. Because illusion is not factual, there is no distinction between what we think is good and bad. When we speak of the absolute truth, such speculations do not apply. In the material world, conceptions of... This is the verse we heard today from the purport. In the material world, conceptions of good and bad are all mental speculations. Therefore, saying this is good and this is bad is all a mistake. And then Prabhupada quotes from the Bhagavad Gita, the humble sages, by virtue of true knowledge, see with equal vision a learned and gentle brahmana, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog eater. When I was in the college, I had to do an essay on Hinduism, modern trends in Hinduism, or maybe it was introduction to Hinduism, I can't remember. We took courses on Hinduism. So I had to do a presentation. We had to pick a topic. So according to modern scholars, Indians and Hinduism do not have a proper sense of history because they're not methodical like we are in the West, and they don't really understand their history. That's their view. Of course, we know what Prabhupada says about history. Who wants to hear about what are the sense enjoyable tidings of the mundane flickering world? We want to hear about what's important. What's important is the pastimes of the Lord and His devotees. In any case, when the Britishers first went to India, one famous Britisher, I tried to find it, I couldn't find my essay. I wanted to quote exactly what he said, but he said something to the effect, when I went to India, I said that all these people are no better than donkeys or dogs. He was very critical. And I thought, yes, he may think like that, but the Hindus who are advanced in spiritual knowledge, they think that they see with an equal vision a dog and a dog eater. So it was just the opposite of each other. He compared them to dogs, but they also compared him to dogs, but they didn't put him down for it. They saw him. He is a soul. So this is the difference between a materialistic and a spiritual culture. And then Lord Chaitanya goes on, he says, since I am in the renounced order, my duty is to make no distinctions and to be equipoised. My knowledge must be equally disposed towards sandalwood pulp and dirty mud. For this reason, I cannot reject you. If I hated you, I would deviate from my occupational duty. So he's talking now about his duty. Maybe Sanatana Goswami can't quite process that his body is, even though it's oozing with pus and sore, is like nectar for the Lord. I guess Lord Chaitanya could see that Sanatana Goswami couldn't accept this. So now he starts talking some philosophy. And then Haridas Thakur says, my dear Lord, what you have spoken deals with external formalities. I do not accept it. So Haridas wasn't satisfied with this kind of philosophy. He wanted some nectar. So then Lord Chaitanya goes deep into the loving relationships he has with his various devotees. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, the body of a devotee is never material. It is considered to be transcendental, full of spiritual bliss. Krishna somehow or other manifested these itching sores on the body of Sanatana Goswami and sent him here to test me. If I had hated Sanatana Goswami and had not embraced him, I would certainly have been chastised for offenses to Krishna. Sanatana Goswami is one of the associates of Krishna. Therefore,
There could not be any bad odor from his body. On the first day I embraced him, I smelled the aroma of shatushana, a mixture of sandalwood pulp, camphor, aguru, and musk. In fact, however, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced the body of Sanatan Goswami, by the Lord's touch alone there was manifested a fragrance exactly like that of sandalwood pulp. So the Lord is always glorifying the devotee for what he gives the devotee. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "My dear Sanatan, do not be aggrieved, for when I embrace you, I actually get great pleasure. Stay with me at Jagannath Puri for 1 year, and after that you can return to Vrindavan." After saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again embraced Sanatan Goswami. Thus, immediately, Sanatan's sores disappeared and his entire body resembled the color of gold. Pretty ecstatic, huh? Seeing this change, Haridas Thakur, greatly astonished, told the Lord, "This is your pastime. My dear Lord, you made Sanatan Goswami drink the water of Jarikanda, and you actually generated the consequent itching sores on his body. After thus causing these itching sores, you examined Sanatan Goswami. No one can understand your transcendental pastimes." This is also a wonderful example for us, because when things happen to us that are not so nice, we may sometimes wonder, well, you know, doesn't Krishna care for me? Why is Krishna letting this happen to me? But a devotee is very confident. Like my friend Rupa Manjari, she's been sick for a long time, but she never complained. And I know how hard it is for Rupa Manjari to be confined to her house and to not be able to do service the way that she likes to do service. But she never complained. She said, "This is what I get. This is what I get." So she passed the test. So we have to reflect on these pastimes where a great devotee was covered with horrible itching sores and he felt so humble. But Lord Chaitanya saw it as a test for him, and actually Haridas Thakur saw that was all Lord Chaitanya's pastime. So let us try to learn from this that we are part of a transcendental leela. Let us try to remember that and try to remind each other that we are in Lord Chaitanya's leela. We may forget it, but we've become a part of his leela. And that is something that we can reflect on. And when things happen to us, we can remember, well, what happened to Haridas? What happened to Haridas Thakur? He got beaten. What happened to Sanatan Goswami? I mean, I don't think I could handle any of this stuff. So if I get something that's maybe not so pleasant, then I can try to reflect on how the Lord is allowing this to happen because I have to learn something. And then this, as far as being transcendental, to having this kind of transcendental duality, Prabhupada warns us that while one has to understand that in the material world of duality, to think that this is good or bad is simply a mental concoction, one should not imitate this consciousness. One should actually be situated on the spiritual platform. Sometimes we meet people and they say, "I love God and I don't care about material things." But if you look at it, you know, you see that actually it's an artificial platform that they're standing on. Like, for instance, in Holland, it's very important that everything's equal, right? Everyone's equal. Everyone has to be considered equal. And in fact, Holland has been a haven for people who have been discriminated against for different reasons. But sometimes you can see that to just say that everyone's equal is a little artificial, because everyone's not equal. Everyone has different capacities and different adhikar, different karma. And we were talking about this kind of thing, how spiritual conceptions sometimes deceptively seem very easy. Like the idea of going beyond duality seems quite easy. And in Brussels, there was a class the bhaktas were discussing about what surrender means, right? Surrender seems so simple, it seems so, I mean, if you're very advanced, it is, but it seems like a passive thing. But actually, surrender is a very active thing. And it's a great science, learning how to surrender to the Lord. So we shouldn't artificially think, "Oh yes, I'm surrendered." No, we have to learn the art of surrender. We have to take mercy of the Vaishnavas, of the Guru, of the Lord. I was reading that this morning, that anyone can get beyond the modes of material nature, even if one is very tamasic, and all the impediments can be removed if one takes shelter of the Guru. So one has to always have advanced devotees that one can go to take shelter of, so that one can overcome one's impediments in spiritual life.
So thank you for listening very patiently. I tried to discuss a little bit about I wanted to bring out the nectar in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes of how devotees go beyond duality by having a taste for the transcendental pastimes of the Lord and seeing everything in relation to the Lord. And also we should be very cautious about immature or imitation transcendence and realize that it's a great science to become surrendered to the Lord and to become transcendental to duality and take the necessary steps to make advancement in this regard. So if anyone would like to make a comment or a correction, ask a question, yes, Kunamai. Well, we hear in the nectar of devotion the different symptoms of surrender, right? To accept everything that's favorable for the devotional service of the Lord, to reject what's unfavorable, to always feel oneself meek and humble, maybe someone else can mention, so there's six of them, the six symptoms of surrender. To always feel oneself meek and humble, to always consider oneself dependent on the mercy of the Lord. Two more? Pardon me? Yes, to always know that the Lord will protect us in all situations. Yes, and to be fully surrendered. Atmanivedanam, to be fully surrendered. So it's a great science, and it has to be done progressively. We have to be honest, first of all, what my actual level is, and then now there's a big emphasis on coaching, that we all need coaching. So coaching means that it's done by a person who we have faith in, who has our best interest in mind, and has the intelligence to focus on what the weakness is and to give the necessary advice. That's guru. Any more points? Is that okay? That's what I can. And maybe someone else would like to say something more about surrender? We'll come. Anyone like to offer some other advice to or some elaboration to Karuna Mayi? Okay, is that okay for now, Karuna Mayi? Okay, Kanchanali. Well, I guess the two examples I gave were a little weak, but we meet people who say that they love God and that they don't care about material things. And they're very convinced about it, but if you really look closely at their life, you'll see that they're very attached and they don't even really know much about God. God is more like an order supplier for them, right? Whenever I need something, I go to God. So this is not really what it means to be beyond duality and to and not be materially attached. To actually to elaborate on imitation, or of course the standard example is the Sahajiyas. I believe Prabhupada will talk about that soon in the upcoming purports, who say that they love God, but if you and they seem to manifest symptoms of love for God, but they do all kinds of nonsense that they say they do in the name of God. That's imitation. Yeah, so there's the difference between imitating, right, and following. Maybe that's what you're looking for. Sometimes Prabhupada says imitation of a good thing is not bad, but ultimately we have to learn how to follow. We have to learn how to follow in the footsteps of the Lord or the Lord's devotees according to our capacity, and that capacity should be increased over time. I believe that's who, maybe someone was saying that in class yesterday, or we can't stay static. We can't just get comfortable in any position. We have to always be trying to move forward. And if we're not, we have to recognize that and we have to feel. Because if you're not moving forward, you're going to move backwards. So even if it's in small increments with small vows or whatever, that's why in some of our Bhakti Vaibhava classes or Bhakti Shastra classes, we make mini plans. What can I actually do consistently to move forward in my spiritual life? Rather than making big vows that we can't really keep and then becoming discouraged all the time. Is that okay, Kanchanali? Or did you want to say something more? Good point. Yeah. Well, that's what Srila Prabhupada said, but that's when one is extremely advanced. Prabhupada is thinking, why should I become a beggar? I'll make money, and then I will push on the movement with my money that I make. But actually, Krishna wanted him to become a beggar, so-called beggar. And he took... Yeah, we can't force that understanding on persons. Like we know, for the classic example in our movement, some people say, oh, this abuse that happened in our schools was the kid's karma. No, we can't say that. Yeah, that's my point. If people want to decide what's their karma, you have to give them the space to decide it. You don't decide it for them. We can decide for ourselves. And then when someone's ready to hear, like I remember one time also, Manjari told me, but we don't like to think like that, do we? But it was the right moment. And it was exactly the right moment. So she knows me very well, so she knows when to say these things. But it was a very liberating moment, that whatever suffering I underwent was my karma, and it was really good. We have to understand it properly. If we don't understand it properly, we can get very depressed. It's my karma, I'm so bad, like that. No. What was it? Yes. When Vasudev and Nanda met, after Vasudev got liberated, he was only temporarily liberated. He was locked up by Kamsa, and all his children were killed. But when they had the eighth child, of course, you know the eighth child was brought to Vrindavan by the arrangements of Yogamaya. But then Durga appeared to Kamsa when he tried to kill the child, and then, for the time being, Vasudev became a little... Kamsa became a little penitent, and he released Vasudev. And then Nanda Maharaj met Vasudev. And one of the things that Nanda Maharaj said to Vasudev, if we understand the law of karma, we'll be freed from all anxiety. Even that basic understanding. And what to speak if we understand that Krishna is directly in control of all of my... what happens to me in my life. Then there's no anxiety. One who sees all living beings as spiritual sparks in quality one with the Lord never hates any being. What can be illusion or anxiety for him? This is basic knowledge, which is also very sublime. So you put that together, this transcendental knowledge of the difference between the body and the soul, and that the super soul is directing our activities, and that we can participate in the Lord's lila. It's a great resource, especially in times of difficulty. And there will always be times of difficulty. The world is made like that, Prabhupada said. It's for our benefit, because we're pretty hard-headed. We need that. Is that all right, Consuelo? Did you want to say something more? Oh, gosh, I was going to ask that today. I was thinking today I will ask all the devotees also to pray for me. Yes, please pray. We should pray for each other that we can get through our impediments, because sometimes you just come up against a wall. I think we all experience that at different times in our life. It's like, I can't get through this wall. We need mercy. Gotta get through this wall. So high, you can't get over it. So low, you can't get under it. So wide, you can't get around it. You gotta go through the door. It's also, I remember when I was hearing that when I was growing up. So high, you can't get over it. So low, you gotta go through the door. So Krishna has a door he wants you to go through. You may need some help opening that door. Well, it seems that this is how it has to be, that when one really becomes very advanced, then Mayadevi has to make sure that you're not going to make any trouble when you go back to the spiritual world. Just like Burjan Prabhu was saying, that if you're not really advanced and you end up in the spiritual world and you see everybody's glorifying Krishna, you might say, well, you might say, I'm also here. What about me? So that's why, like Prabhupada said, he was determined to finish his business. So that's, our determination will be tested in different ways. Like Haridas Thakur, he got tested. Maya Devi came to him personally in a very beautiful form. And Jad Bharat got tested in another way. I mean, let's try to reflect a little bit. Maybe this is a little bit of an educated guess, but he had been a great king in another life. He'd been very, very elevated. And it says, even Krishna says that for one who has been honored, dishonor is worse than death. But Jad Bharat had already died a few times. Actually, Prabhupada said he only had three lives in that Maharaj Bharat was so great that he only had to be in the material world for three lives. So he got quite strongly tested, but he, I mean, even like was going to be slaughtered, right, by these dacoits. That's coming in the next verses. And he was so surrendered to the Lord. He was so basically connected with the Lord that practically speaking, he didn't even notice. But Durga noticed. So does that help a little bit? Okay. Any last points? Yes, Prabhu. Yes. Well, we're mostly probably all like that at one point or another at different times in our life that we try to imitate, because we're like children who try to imitate the parents. Sometimes you see the kids, right? I'm looking at Svetlana's son, and he's making all these kind of cute faces. And I realize he's just imitating what he sees around him. You had it also with Manjari. Manjari went to visit her grandchildren, and she was chanting japa. Then she saw her little grandson was sitting there. Because that's what they do. So it's in a childlike way, sometimes we try to imitate. But I'd like to say a nice verse. I think it's from one of the, might be from the 11th canto, that a pure devotee sometimes displays ecstatic symptoms and sometimes he doesn't display ecstatic symptoms. But the way that one can know a pure devotee is by his steadiness in devotional service and by the ecstatic vibrations that emanate from his mouth. So that's the test, the steadiness of the person in his manifestation of advancement, and also that he's always speaking, glorifying the Lord and devotional service. Is that all right? Okay. Yes. That's a good question. Like, how do we know that the advice that's given to us is applicable to us? Well, I mean, I had an experience like that. I asked a very advanced devotee, and she was so advanced. She saw me as more advanced than I am, and she gave me like a really some instructions that were very advanced. And I tried to follow them. It was like hopeless. So then I realized her intentions were very, very pure and very good. But I have to look for advice that's more close to my level. So one thing is to try, the other thing is to be very honest, realistic. I mean, a classic example comes to my mind that a couple of devotees were told to go preach in a certain place by Srila Prabhupada, and then they didn't make it. They've really gotten Maya together. And then finally, a year later, they came in to see Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, well, where have you been? And they actually said, Srila Prabhupada, you know, when you told us to do this, we knew we didn't have the strength to do it, but we felt we had to do it because you told us to do it. Prabhupada said, you know, I'm not God. I'm not omniscient. If you can't do it, you have to tell me. It happened although that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta was telling one of his brahmachari disciples, you should go to the West and preach Krishna consciousness. And the boy just started crying. He said, call his Guru Maharaj also Prabhupada. If I go, I'll just fall down. So please don't ask me to do this. Bhaktisiddhanta changed the instruction. Yeah, so it's either you sense it immediately if you're very alert, and if you're not, you may have to try it. But you have to be very alert and discuss this. I don't think that I can manage this. And if it is a very open and honest relationship, then the person may say, well, thank you for letting me know. Then try this. That's the kind of relationship we should be able to have. Not that we.
Don't expect me.
No. The mood has to be very submissive and honest. And then one can... That would be the best scenario. And then try to... Not that we want to make it easy, but we do want to make it doable, right? Our advancement. So we have to be discriminating. Is that all right? Well, you have to have the confidence that the person you're speaking to is capable of giving you advice, and you have to also be able to speak to them very honestly where you're at and what you think you can do. And you want to be stretched so that you can make advancement, but you can't go in the panic zone because you've been there too many times, right? So you really want to get some advice about some practical steps to go forward. And sometimes if you go to a very advanced devotee who that hasn't known you over a period of time, then you might again become frustrated. So you have to think very carefully who it is that you want to take shelter of, and then when you do go to them, be very honest where you're at and tell them your doubts and your concerns and ask for some specific help. And then keep regular contact with that person. Is that all right? Shall we end here then? Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai.